please stand clear of the doors.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear from dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we are here to talk to you about the latest and greatest theme park news and more straight from attractionsmagazine.com. But before we do that, Seth, what's been going on for you this week?
I had a quiet week at home. Surprise, surprise. but I did somehow manage to snag a park pass to Disney's Hollywood Studios at Walt Disney World and managed to make my first trip back there with my wife since the pandemic. And we not only got boarding passes for Rise of the Resistance on our first try at 10 a.m., but she also got to ride Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway for her first time. We only waited about 40 minutes for that. Not bad at all. Had a great day in the park and we're totally done, ready to leave by 3 p.m.
That's
the Hollywood experience these days. You knock out a good 4 or 5 hours and you're ready to go.
And you got to do all the good stuff.
Yeah.
So.
And I got to see the new Disney Society Orchestra and Friends, which is basically the musicians who normally play at the Grand Floridian. Mm-hmm. They've thrown them on the Beauty and the Beast stage, and they've got a couple costume characters. They're really talented musicians. I just loved hearing them play the Muppet Show theme and the Cantina theme from Star Wars. So that alone, to me, versus Beauty and the Beast show that really hasn't been updated in like 30 years. I thought it was nice seeing something new.
I loved the music of Pixar Live when that was a thing. Mm. And any kind of live music in the parks, I'm like, yes, let me have it. I want it. So I'm glad to hear that it's good. I watched videos of it, but I know that doesn't really compare to being there.
Yeah, it was, if nothing else, it's great to sit down in the shade. Anything sitting down in the shade these days is great for me.
Yeah, but I'm glad that you guys got to ride Rise. It
yes.
seems like that boarding pass system with the three different disbursement of passes seems to be working pretty well.
So right now they're down to twice a day at 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. And honestly, if you don't get the 10 a.m., the 2 p.m. is pretty slim pickings. But if you manage to be right there on top of it, honestly, they last about a minute. But if you can get there in that first minute, you can pretty much get one. I've had pretty good luck the times that I've been since the reopening. And we got really lucky. It was the day before the big lightning strike. So the ride was running phenomenally for us. Had no problem getting on, all the effects working. And of course, later that night, I got hit by a big bolt of lightning. Didn't really run right all that rest of that week, all the rest of the week afterwards. So
I saw that on Twitter and I was like, holy crap.
between lightning hitting Rise of the Resistance and a fire apparently breaking out backstage at Hagrid's, that's still closed as of today. Not been a great week for new e-tickets here in Orlando. No.
Well, that just is like the latest in a string of problems with both of those rides, I think.
Yeah. at this point, I just expect to hear that they're murder hornets. Hagrid already had the
murder hornets.
maybe it'll be a locusts or I don't know, plague of the firstborn. Something biblical will have to be next.
Oh, man. Well, my week was also pretty quiet since we're all working from home in this house. It's just been hanging out with our dog and watching TV, doing work stuff, been taking Brody on longer walks. So that's been fun getting out of the house. But I did experience a COVID first today.
Yes.
So I went to it's a Japanese bookstore chain that is near my house. And I went just because I was bored. And I went in and they had a table out front that was taking like a tally of how many people were in the store at one time. And then they also had a temperature, like a touchless temperature reading device. And that they point at your forehead and take your temperature. Mm-hmm. And I had never experienced that before because I
welcome to the world the rest of us have been in.
Well, I'm a pretty big homebody, I guess I would say. So I don't really go out that much unless I have to. Right. And today was like a leisure get out of the house or we're gonna lose our minds kind of situation. And it was like very strange, but also like now I feel like everyone else.
And so was everyone wearing masks? And I assume since it's a Japanese bookstore, everyone would already be accustomed to wearing masks.
Yeah, and they had plexiglass in front of the registers. They even had like masks for sale. They had run out, but I saw the area where they were located. They had people constantly cleaning the shelves because like it's a bookstore, so they you touch everything. It was very safe, and they had like a certain number of people could be in there at a time, so it was pretty spaced out. And then I went to a board game store that didn't take my temperature, but they only let 6 people in at a time, so that was pretty handy. And I got a board game.
That's great.
Yeah, I got Tokaido. If any of you guys know what that is, it's like it's a Japanese board game where you travel along the Tokaido Road, and it's like a touristy thing where your goal is to have the most enriching travel experience as possible, doing like paintings, needing food and stuff. I love board games. So
is this in English, or do you need to know Japanese in order
it's in English. Luckily. Yeah. But it was on my list of things to pick up. Like I have a list of games like Betrayal at House on the Hill or something. I think it's called that. It's like a haunted house building game. I love tabletop stuff, and especially like the art. If it's cool, I probably want it because the art is half of it for me.
I feel so behind. We're still on Scrabble and Monopoly, the occasional Trivial Pursuit. I feel so old school. Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, let's do it. All right, let's get into the news in the queues. First up this week, we have a documentary, a theme park documentary. We don't get those that often. I love these as a kid. But this one's called The Magic of Disney's Animal Kingdom. It's from National Geographic, and it will be on Disney Plus on September 25th.
Yeah, I've really been enjoying the documentary stuff that they've been putting on Disney Plus. I got Disney Plus, for the Marvel and Mandalorian and the movies and stuff, but I've really been digging into like the Frozen 2 documentary.
That one's so good.
The Imagineering story. Been doing great work with all these, and I'm so glad Josh Gad is getting more work because I worry about him. I feel like I only see 17, podcasts or video things or documentaries that he's in each week. And so I'm glad he has more work.
Well, and then he's got Reunited Apart, too. Don't forget about that.
Exactly.
The guy's
I was afraid that he might, run out of things.
Well, and I mean, he did lose that the Muppets Live Another Day project, which I will forever
about. But I do notice looking at the list of things that they're covering, most of it's animal-based attractions at the Animal Kingdom, with a little bit of Epcot, the Seas Aquarium over there. No mention of the Yeti. So obviously this will not be like about the veterinarians at Animal Kingdom bringing the Yeti back to life, unfortunately. Yeah.
They don't like to talk about that guy, but Joe Rohde is in it, so maybe we'll get lucky and get some kind of mention of Disco Yeti in there.
Some little hint, maybe, but I wouldn't count on it.
I'm not holding my breath over it. Mm-mm. But I don't know about you, but I loved like the Travel Channel documentaries, and like the specials about the parks. I wish that they would do more. So I hope people watch this and then they're like, oh, there's a market for this kind of content. And then they start making these little documentaries, shows and things again.
And hopefully the fact that it's a National Geographic branded means it won't just be a Disney Parks commercial, which is fine. I like Disney Parks commercials, but hopefully like the scientific and the natural documentary side of it will be solid too.
I guarantee it's going to look incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Next up, SeaWorld's Craft Beer Festival is back, but with some limited capacity offerings. Now, this is just your basic food festival, but the stations, instead of being centralized in one place, they're spread all throughout the park now to encourage social distancing. Mm-hmm. And they have more than 20 food items alongside a variety of domestic and local brews. So if you like Florida craft beer, it's probably something worth checking out for you.
Have you ever been to one of these SeaWorld food festivals?
Once a long time ago, I think we did one for Early Night Live. Seven Seas Food Festival.
I've been to a number of them over the last few years, and I've been really impressed in terms of the value and the portion size,
mm-hmm.
Compared to, say, like the Epcot food festivals.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like the food maybe isn't quite as fancy. They're definitely going after a slightly different audience in terms of the taste profiles. But you get a lot for your money, especially they've got these sampler lanyards where mm-hmm. it comes out to about $5 a sample. And you could definitely fill up. What I'm curious to see is, I know I've been there in the past where there've been some long lines for some of the stands, and whether they can have either the capacity low enough or the staffing high enough that, you know, they can keep it with the social distancing, because you know sometimes those queues can really creep out into the streets.
Yeah, but. If any of you have gone or are interested in going, you'll have to make a reservation online,
yep.
just like with any other regular trip to SeaWorld Orlando. But check it out if you need something to do. Get out of the house and be socially distant.
Yeah, you got to give it to SeaWorld that they've been really pushing hard from the fireworks and the drive-in movies.
Yeah.
Adding a day back to their schedule. Really, really trying to make things work over there at SeaWorld.
Yeah, can definitely appreciate that. Over at Universal, I was so jealous of everyone taking pictures of the delicious crepes. A new crepe stand has opened called Central Park Crepes, and it looks delicious, guys. I want you to just look at these. Oh, man. They look so good.
You know, I think they're a pretty good size for, $6-7.
They look real big. Yeah,
they do. I think, you know, people were saying that you really might need two people to finish one of these. I am so bummed. I got there the day that they opened, maybe 20 minutes after.
Oh,
they
no.
closed, you know, not even. And I was so excited to try one. So I'm going to make another attempt next week. But I don't know, which one do you think I should go for first? That's the hard part.
I have an answer for this.
Okay.
I saw a picture of it today and like my mouth started watering. It's the cookies and cream one.
You know, I've never been a huge, or maybe I'm the only person in the world who doesn't love cookies and cream ice cream. And
that's,
you know,
okay.
I'll consider it.
It looks really good, at least, but I would also go for lemon blueberry because I love fruity flavors.
The lemon blueberry is pretty tempting, and I'm a sucker for anything with Nutella. I mean,
ooh,
yeah.
Strawberry hazelnut. Yeah, that sounds really good. I just saw, I can't remember who posted it, but someone on theme park Twitter posted it. I was like, oh my God, that looks so good. There's the lemon blueberry one.
Now, I will say this is right across the street from Cafe La Bamba. And I wouldn't be surprised. There's a bar there. There's a little window where they would occasionally have like mimosas and cosmopolitans. And I wouldn't surprise if those things never open again, or at least don't open until a really peak season, now that they've invested money in this kind of location right next door.
That's a fair theory.
Yeah, for every, we were at the point in the theme parks that for every new thing that opens, something else is probably going to stay closed.
Yeah, it's kind of bittersweet to think about that trade-off thing now. In other Universal news, we've got some updated perks for you Premier Pass holders out there, because you did lose some stuff, another trade-off situation. Since you don't get your valet parking or your Horror Nights admission, because Horror Nights got canceled, you now can take advantage of the following. Earlier Universal Express access starting at 2 p.m. from August 10th through the 30th of September. And I believe this is just one express access per attraction, if I remember the fine print correctly.
Correct.
And you also get a dedicated parking toll booth lane, which that... Yes, that's just needed in general. From my time being an AP at Universal, going through the parking toll area was the worst part of going to Universal because it gets so backed up. Mm-hmm. So, Universal, if you're listening, please make this a permanent offering. You also get one free theme park admission for a guest, kind of as a sorry you can't go to Horror Nights with your friend. But sure. That's pretty nice. I mean... Universal's been really busy these past few days. But...
Sure. Yeah. I checked out a lot of these on the first day that they came into operation. So that parking, you're going to go to the far left when you pull into the parking tolls. And there's just this one kind of sign that says Premier Pass Holders in really tiny words.
Nice.
And I'm sure that, you know, you can see the word AP, you know, UOAP big. So I'm sure they're going to have pass holders pulling up there and then being told, oh, this is for Premier and that. But I will say that when I was there, you know, there were six or seven deep in the normal lines and I got to pull right up to the pass holder line.
That's so always nice.
I'm happy with that. They've also got pass holder turnstiles back open now, mm-hmm. I think through September. But that's not Premier only. That's any pass holder can use those. Yeah, the after 2 p.m. Express Pass is going to be really handy if you go there on a weekend right now. Weekdays are still pretty quiet. Weekdays still feel like very slow off-season. But Saturdays especially and Sundays, we're seeing long, long wait times. Now, some of those wait times are inflated. Working with the folks at touringplans.com, and we've been sending people through to time the actual weights, comparing them to what Universal is telling people the weights are. And they're kind of over-exaggerating some of the numbers to kind of warn people.
Yeah.
But the parks, the days of them being a ghost town, especially on the weekends, are over. People are coming back, especially because of these, annual pass holder discounts, the Florida resident deal that they've got where you can buy one day and get the rest of the day, rest of the year free. Universal on the weekends is pretty packed right now.
Yeah, I saw the pictures that BioReconstruct posted. Mm-hmm. I could not believe it in comparison to the other parks. If you guys have a moment to go look at his Twitter, it's like Universal and then Epcot and Disney's Hollywood Studios, and the Disney parks have like 4-5 cars, and then mm-hmm. Universal, it's like from the toll booth all the way down. It's just packed with cars.
Yeah, if you're gonna hit Universal on a weekend, go early, please.
Yeah.
Annual pass holders are all eligible for early park admission right now. Take advantage of it. For the next couple Saturdays, they've added an hour back on to the end of the operating day for both parks because they've cut operating hours at all the parks, and on the weekdays they don't really need it. But the weekends, they might have to do some more extending because they've got the crowds right now for sure.
I mean, this is a good problem to have in a weird... I feel weird saying that, but with the whole situation and the parks, I feel like it's a good thing.
Yeah, it would obviously be preferable if all those people packing in on Saturday and Sunday could somehow be spread out more over the course of the week.
Yes.
Because right now it's like feast or famine, it's either, a million employees with nothing to do, or they just can't keep up with the flow of people. And there's not a lot in between right now.
Yeah. Let's see. In Disney news, they've got new face masks for cast members that are exclusive for cast members. Sorry if you guys like the design. But they were designed by both the Disneyland and Disney World costuming teams, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, and, aside from them having a neat Stardust pattern, they've really seemed to have made some improvements with the contour of coming up high on your nose, but then being curved around the eyes, and really kind of fitting the shape of your face better than a lot of patterns. I really wish they would, you know, sell them or at least release the pattern, because I would love to have one like that.
All of my masks, I prefer to have like that contour with the nose. It just feels better. But they have the regular folded, like straight surgical style in addition to the contoured style for cast members to choose from. And I believe the contoured one has a nose bridge in the middle so that you can pinch together and make it a little more snug. But it's just, it's neat. And it's cool to see them kind of make things more uniform, because cast, you know, they wear their costumes and all the locations, it's supposed to be the same because you're part of the show. And this is just another part of that show, part of that costume.
I wonder if the next step will be designing new decorative face shields for them to wear over the new masks.
If they could theme them, because I think the weirdest thing I've ever seen are the First Order officers wearing shields and Rise of the Resistance.
It's oddly appropriate. It's all like they're fascist dental hygienists. You know, it's like, we're going to extract your molar for the First Order.
Your molars for your dental hygiene will bow to the First Order. Yeah. I mean, who knows? Maybe they'll 3D print like the bands with little patterns on them or something. Who knows? But these are cool for now. You can only get them if you're a cast member. Sorry about it.
But I'm sure it'll show up on eBay.
I was just going to say that. Or someone will rip off the pattern and put it on public or something. Don't
please
do that.
put it on Etsy and I will buy one.
Next up, this I found extremely interesting, and I knew that you'd want to talk about this, Seth. Busch Gardens is having Howl-O-Scream this year.
Yes, they are.
They're the only ones that are doing Halloween out of like the big parks in Orlando. And I'm very cautiously optimistic for how it's going to go, I guess would be the right thing to say.
Yeah, so we'll find out, because on the first Sunday of this event, I went ahead and bought myself a couple tickets. And I'm looking for a victim. Go with me. I reached out to some friends already, and they're like, I might not be available that night. Sorry.
So I wonder why. See.
I'll lure someone into going with me. So, what it's going to be like to have a theme park Halloween event with no haunted houses. Scream zones and atmosphere and some entertainment performances, but no traditional haunted houses. We'll see. They've capped a pretty low attendance, and we'll see if they wind up selling all of those out. But you know, this is the closest we're gonna get to a real Howl-O-Scream or Halloween Horror Nights thing. It's this or a drive-through haunted house. Those are pretty much our options this year.
I mean, the pricing for this at $30 a head, it really is not bad if you're itching for a haunt experience in Orlando.
You know what? I think I can get $30 worth out of riding Busch Gardens roller coasters
at night,
dark, if nothing else. Assuming that they are doing decent two train operations and that it's not, you know, hours to wait for each car. But I'm kind of excited to see what happens.
Same here.
And hopefully in a few Sundays from now, we will broadcast that live if the Wi-Fi at Busch Gardens cooperates. We'll see how well that goes.
I'm really excited to see how that goes. Because I mean, with everything happening, I tried to rack my brain for the longest time before Universal finally pulled the plug how they were going to pull off a haunt. And I guess this is the closest I'm going to get to seeing how that actually goes off operationally.
Yeah. So fingers crossed that I make it back alive.
Yeah, let's hope so. Make sure you sanitize up and wear a good fitted mask.
Well, I hear that Halloween fog is completely antiseptic. And it'll just burn the virus out of you, just like bleach and ultraviolet sunlight.
That sounds a little dangerous to be breathing, but whatever keeps you safe.
Yeah, it might be dangerous, but don't you miss that smell? Come on, admit it. You miss that Halloween fog smell.
We may or may not have purchased a candle that smells like that. Yep. Next up, this caused quite a stir on the internet. The Epcot spires, the pylons, are back.
Yes, Lucite returns.
And they look beautiful. They look so good.
They're gorgeous and polished. And and I can't wait until the first guest climbs on top of them and tries to get their hands all over them.
Epcot really doesn't have a good track record with that.
I mean, this is just blatant fan service nostalgia, and I'm totally here for it. That's the Epcot I grew up with. That's the Epcot of my childhood. And, you know, there's not a lot of that Epcot that's left, so I am happy to cling to whatever breadcrumbs they want to toss at me.
Yeah, I mean, in times like these, it's really nice to see something new get added to the parks, like with the crepe stand and this. So it's good to see that not all hope is lost for new stuff right now. I hope that these changes will extend through the rest of the park. I know that they had that Statue of Walt planned for the backside of Spaceship Earth, and I wonder just how much is on the back burner right now. But
yeah, I don't know how long you can realistically run a major theme park with the entire center of it just carved out and going around the backstage just to get into the entrance. But, you know, I think a lot of the things like that big festival pavilion with the multiple tiers in the center of the park, I don't see a real need for that in the near future. So I think something's going to happen, but it's whatever it's going to be, it's going to be way scaled back from what we'd originally hoped for.
Yeah. And here's hoping they open Ratatouille at some point, too.
Please. I've heard whispers of fall, October kind of time frame, which would be great. But I really think it depends on crowds coming back. Like, it's sort of a chicken and the egg thing. Like, yes, you want something new to lure people in, but you also don't want to blow your investment, which, you know, might be one of the last new things that you have for a while when no one's here to see it.
Yeah. So,
yeah, I don't envy the marketing people trying to figure out when the exact right time to launch Ratatouille is, because I couldn't figure that one out.
Me neither, but I watched a theme park vlog the other day where someone was in the Skyliner that goes behind that whole area. It looks incredible. It looks gorgeous, so beautiful.
It's really beautiful, and I just wish that they had put the restaurant that they have in Paris there. Though, you know, now... you know, the France Pavilion at Epcot has no sit-down restaurants. And Scott Joseph, who's a local food writer, did an interview the head chef who'd been there, head executive chef who'd been there for decades, is retiring and moving out of state. And he kind of said it half jokingly, but he implied that it's going to be a long, long time before those restaurants reopen. You know, all the people who made them run have left the country. You can't just flip a switch and get a whole staff of French, you know, cuisine people back at the drop of a hat. So, yeah.
I never got to eat at any of those. Now I'm sad. That's okay. I hope that they get it all figured out eventually. So I don't know when my next trip will be, but I'll keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Some good news.
Oh, good.
For folks in the Actors Equity Association and fans of the live entertainment at the Disney parks, they have reached an agreement with Disney over the association's demand for COVID-19 testing.
So this is an interesting story. Basically, what happened is Disney announced that they were going to have on-site testing available for all team members, cast members, cast members, families, and also the general public at large. And they're going to do it on property, which is a great thing because getting quick and reliable testing has been really challenging here in Central Florida. Then Actors Equity, who has been in kind of a stalemate with Disney over bringing actors back, jumped in and said, hey, that's great. We're going to kind of take credit for that. We're so happy. And we're so happy that we've signed a letter of memoranda that we're ready to return to work. That doesn't mean that Disney is ready for the actors to return to work. It just means that the actors are ready for them to return to work.
Yeah.
And it's Disney was actually kind of, you know, they kind of clapped back at Actors Equity saying, hey, no one think that us doing this COVID testing has anything to do with any particular union, hint, hint, Actors Equity. You know, I would love for all of my friends who are union actors to be back at work, and for the shows, for Savvies to have actual performers instead of just selling you a bunch of lightsaber parts and say, here, put it together. You know, for all of the parades and the shows, stuff to be able to go back on. But, you know, as of this time where we're talking about it on Sunday night, Disney hasn't called anyone and told them to come back to work, as far as I know. They haven't put any shows back on the schedule. So while this is a step forward, we shouldn't think this means that when you go and visit the parks on Monday, all of the, you know, regular shows that you remember are going to be performing again, because that's not happening yet.
Yeah, I think there's still, well, with this whole thing as it unfolded, because I got the clapback statement from Disney. I feel like there's still going to be talks and hurdles that they have to jump over because of this and how they kind of took credit for the whole thing. It's great that they're offering testing for people.
Yes,
I know that the NBA was doing that as well in their bubble for the general community.
Yeah, yeah, that is fantastic, because you know, a lot of people who have just not been able to get a test, or you go and get a test and it's so long after going in that you might as well not have gotten a test.
Yeah,
that you get your results. So that's a great step forward, but don't jump the gun and think this means that that shows at Disney are going to be back to normal in the near future. It's still got a ways to go.
I hope that they all get to come back sooner rather than later. So I love the shows, and I hate that anyone is still out of work at this point. It's not good to hear. Yeah. Some more news over at Universal. Oh, geez. You've got feelings about this.
I do.
Sapphire Falls Resort and Aventura Hotel are both going to temporarily close this coming week.
This is not an encouraging sign, especially since all these hotels were already running at about 50% capacity. They wanted to only sell every other room so they could do enhanced cleaning. The Portofino Bay Hotel never reopened, and now losing these two. I'll be honest, these are probably my two least favorite hotels at Universal. I wasn't going to stay in them, but they have my two favorite hotel bars.
Ooh.
The Rum Bar at Sapphire Falls and the Rooftop Bar at Aventura are just both two of the best hotel bars anywhere. And this one hurts. Without Halloween bookings, I'm sure they just had, once they announced there was not going to be Halloween, I'm sure they had just tons of cancellations. And you know, Brits are a big part of their market, especially in the fall, and without people coming over from Europe, it makes sense. And hopefully they're able to redeploy employees to keep their full-time staff still working at the other locations. But there's no good way to spin this one.
Yeah. And for those who have stays booked at these two hotels, they're going to get relocated to the other resorts that are open.
Yeah. And relocated means that if you were in Sapphire Falls, congratulations, you just got bumped up to a room at either the Hard Rock or the Royal Pacific, and you're going to get free express passes. So yay.
Yay.
However, if you were at the Aventura, you're either going to Cabana Bay, which I personally like better.
I like Cabana Bay.
You're taking a hike over to Endless Summer, which is actually not bad at all.
Yeah.
But it's not quite the same as being right there on site where you can just walk.
Yeah. I mean,
I'd go for Cabana Bay if they give you a choice.
I love Cabana Bay. I think it's so cool, and I love the theming and everything. all of my friends that work at Universal, I feel like during horror nights, they'll book a stay with their rate at Sapphire Falls. That's like the thing to do if you're a GM.
Oh, yeah.
So I can't imagine what kind of cancellation numbers that they saw, but I don't know. It sucks. Sorry that this episode is such a bummer, guys. This week was full of bad news.
Right. And Sapphire and Aventura also, they were built kind of to be accessible to the convention facilities at Royal Pacific. No one's doing conventions right now. Mm-mm. So, it's just one thing after another. My heart goes out to all of the staff there, and I hope you guys are all shifted somewhere and able to keep working.
Yeah, same here. And then hopefully maybe things will get busy and they'll reopen you guys again. But that's it for me for news in the queue. And then for our main attraction, I wanted to talk and speculate more than anything, really, about this. This happened literally yesterday. Mm-hmm. So there is a new book that's coming out from Disney Books called The Disney Monorail, Imagineering a Highway in the Sky. And toward the back of the book, this book goes over the history of creating the monorail and its various iterations, lots of cool pictures and stories. But at the back of the book, there's this, a very cool poster that says, "Next Stop Play, Monorail Mark 10, arriving at Epcot in 2021 with the Wedway logo down here. And this little piece of text right here says, "Calling all pilots, a new way to play arrives at the Play Pavilion at Epcot in 2021. Let the speculation begin.
Go! So we should probably start the speculation by saying this does not mean that a new monorail fleet is coming to Walt Disney World.
I wish it would not happen.
I wish it needs it.
Yes.
In fact, I believe the irony is I don't think that the monorail is even running from the TTC to Epcot right now. I think that they might have, at least the last time I was there, they had suspended that and they were only running buses from hotels for the time being.
I wouldn't be surprised.
So let's remind everyone what the Play Pavilion is supposed to be.
Yes. So if you take a look at this concept art here, it will take over the former Wonders of Life Pavilion in Epcot and will be
RIP Body Wars
and be an interactive city filled with games themed to all your favorite Disney IPs and look kind of like Ralph Breaks the Internet, in my opinion.
So this is basically Disney making a family entertainment center like you might find in a local strip mall and putting a shine on it and putting it inside a pavilion that's pretty much been dead except for festival headquarters for the last 10 years. So what do we think that this might be? The first thing we should probably clarify is while it does say 2021 in this book and Play Pavilion has been talked about as a 2021 thing, I would not place money on that.
Nope.
This is a nice, high-quality, glossy book, which it means if it's coming out in September, this was probably finished months and months ago in terms of design. So I'm sure that 2021 date was established before the latest earnings call and the news that a lot of projects have been put on pause. So we'll put the date aside.
Yeah.
I don't know, what do you, when you look at that, you zoom in on that concept art, what do you think might be hiding in that back corner with the monorail? Because if you kind of zoom in on that interior concept art, I think I know what I see. Scroll down a little bit. Keep going. Yeah, so if you go in sort of the middle right of that bottom image, looks to me
this guy.
Yeah, if you were to zoom in all the way in on that, to me that looks a lot like a slide, like a climbing structure tube slide in the shape of a monorail.
That is not what I was thinking, but that is a very astute observation.
Now, I mean, obviously that this is a lower res version we have right here. I found a higher res version, and it doesn't certainly doesn't give a lot of detail, and obviously this is just concept art, so it could change. But I personally, I don't expect anything super high tech. I wouldn't be shocked if it was kind of a playground indoor climbing thing inspired by the monorails. I'm kind of reminded of over at Disneyland Hotel in Anaheim. Mm-hmm. They have a series of water slides that are themed to the vintage monorail.
Yeah.
And if you, yes, exactly, Genevieve.
Yeah.
If you zoom in on that concept art and look at that real carefully, to me, it looks like a slide.
I was thinking, I guess just I had Test Track on the brain when I saw this image, and I pictured like you could make your own Mark 10.
Ooh.
Like they would have tablets with like touch
like a virtual design it and then maybe like put it out on a virtual track with like some projections and see it run around. That would be neat.
Cause that's like, it's got the tactile thing. So kids would be really engaged with it and you could make it look super futuristic and cool. And then the adults can be sad that it's not real.
That would be really fun because, you know, we lost the Sum of All Thrills, which was the build your own roller coaster. And even before that in Innoventions, the original Communicore, we had the thing with the animated beaver where you got to build your own roller coaster, which was probably gone before you were born. I'm showing my age on that one. Those of you who were 80s children will remember that one from Communicore. But yeah, it would be really cool if they brought that kind of idea back for some interactive design, design a monorail car, or design a track layout. That would be very cool. Be interesting how all these kind of things, whether, you know, obviously something is interactive and play-based. So whether it's something that you're touching a screen or you're crawling through a physical environment, how all that stuff is now going to be adapted for a world where everything's got to be sanitized and socially distanced. Because I don't think that's all going to be disappeared by 2021 or whenever this opens. So yeah, whatever the plans were for this monorail thing when this book was designed may not be what actually happens, but it's something new to look forward to, right?
Yeah, and I was looking through our old coverage of the Play Pavilion because it's been a while since we've heard about it. This is the third attraction, if the other two haven't been canceled or altered yet. The other two have to do with Huey, Dewey, and Louie and Edna Mode.
Yes, I think it's a fashion design interactive experience with Edna. Mm-hmm. And I don't remember what the Huey, Dewey, and Louie idea was.
I think it was, my brain keeps saying it's a food fight thing, but I don't think right. Let's see here.
I want a Scrooge McDuck experience where I can just dive into a money bin full of gold coins and swim
like
around
a D23. It's a water balloon fight. I was right about the fight part. Yeah, Huey, Dewey, Louie, and Webby.
Interesting. I wonder that. No, an actual water balloon fight. Okay. Well, they might be rethinking that.
Yeah.
interesting cons. Didn't they have something like that at Fun Spot or Legoland where you launch water balloons? I think I've done something like that at IAPA probably. Launch water balloons back and forth at people with like a slingshot. It sounds very messy.
Yeah, and sounds like a lot of communal touching of surfaces.
Right after your kid has run around in those fountain splash pads, then they can go and do the water balloon next.
Yeah, I wonder if this will end up being like a spiritual successor to Disney Quest.
The concept art definitely kind of gives off that vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would just love to see kind of a... Sorry, guys, there was loud noise outside. I bet. I would love to see kind of a modernized virtual experience like the Jungle Cruise ride or the Pirates ride or the Aladdin Magic Carpet thing. I'd love to see something like that. Maybe with VR, that would be really cool. Other than all of this stuff, we don't really know a whole lot about Play Pavilion, other than that. Placing the tiles on the roof right now and they have stuff haphazardly like secured to the roof, which makes me very nervous.
Yeah. I hope for the construction crew's sake that they will complete the work on the exterior, because it definitely looks like it is a job in progress.
Yeah.
But I don't know anyone who knows what's happening on the inside. I would assume that they have other fish to fry before they really devote resources to finishing that one out. Because I don't know anyone who's saying they're planning a trip to Disney just to see the play pavilion.
I would like to see Guardians finish first if I had to pick.
Guardians will bring people in. People will buy a ticket to see the Guardians coaster when that opens.
I would, for sure. Yeah.
Yep.
Let's see. KSV VC.
Yes. Kennedy Space Center, the Visitors Center. Yes. Yes, they did an Angry Birds Rovio. I think that's the company's name. Had a sponsored exhibit. Not probably one of the Kennedy Space Center's most noble. Though I will say, I also around the same time they did a really great Star Trek exhibit.
And, ooh. That's cool. So. But yeah, if you are interested in seeing this concept art, this conceptual poster for yourself, it is really cool. Mm-hmm. I like the art a lot. You can pick it up when the Disney Monorail Imagineering a Highway in the Sky releases to the public on September 15th. We got a press review copy, which is why we have this, in case you're wondering. Yes. It was apparently mailed to me, and I had no idea.
Lucky you. Is it a hardcover? Is it like a coffee table book?
Or? The pictures that Matt sent me, looks like a coffee table book. Yeah. It looks like a pretty like significant, like maybe this thick coffee table book. Looks cool.
At one point I literally had so many Disney coffee table books on my coffee table that it started to bend and I had to reinforce my coffee table.
Oh no.
You know, because they're big. I mean, those of us who collect these, they're huge.
There are so many good ones.
They add up.
Yeah.
They add up.
There are so many good ones. We have like a built-in in my living room that we're trying to fill up with all of our Disney art books and classic stuff. And this will fit right in. I might put it next to our Big Al ceramic figure. Big Al from Country Bears.
Oh, I thought you said Big Owl.
Big Al. Sorry, that was my Southwest
that's why I said who.
Accent. Yeah, Big Al, blood on the saddle. We have a ceramic Big Al. But yeah, that's pretty much it. Everything that happened for the week. So a lot of negative news, I'm not going to lie.
Well, I mean, these are tough times. We're bringing you the straight story. You know, we're not going to sugarcoat it.
No.
We're also not trying to dwell
on
the negative, you know. Got to keep moving forward.
Yes. Right? Yeah.
There's a great, big, beautiful tomorrow. Not today.
Maybe. Shining at the end tomorrow. Of every day. Cool Daddy says, make a coffee table out of coffee table books. I mean, you probably could. Disney probably. Is really so...
That would be very meta. I
could do yeah. That. But Seth, if you would, tell the nice folks at home where they can find you on social medias.
Absolutely. So for all your unofficial guide needs, we're at theunofficialguides.com. And you can check out my posts on social media. I will be at Epcot this week, having a birthday dinner at Beer Garden. And
you can
follow that on Twitter at TheUGSeries. That'll be on Tuesday of this week.
I've never been to Beer Garden. That's like on my bucket list. So I will definitely be tuning in for that.
I'm actually really excited because normally it's a buffet, but now they've turned it to family style.
Ooh.
And I actually prefer it when they just bring you the big tray of everything out.
Nice.
So I'm really excited. We'll see how this goes.
That sounds so much fun. I wonder how the entertainment will, if it will have changed any or...
You know, I saw a video of the guy with the Glockenspiel. I don't know if the full band is around, but, you know, the video I saw, you know, that's a huge space. You're practically outdoors, even though you're indoors with the height of that ceiling. And it looked like people were really widely spaced. You know, won't have to share the long table with another family. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Looking forward to it. And so, yeah, at the UG series, you can follow along and see what that's like.
And you can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's both funny on Twitter and Instagram, occasionally on twitch.tv/BrittPlays. And of course, at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you can rewatch this if you want to.
Over and over and over and over.
Over and over again, please. And always give us a thumbs up. Give us a little like.
Subscribe.
Subscribe. Turn on that notification bell. It really, that tiny little thing, it really does help. I'm not joking. Algorithms are a thing. But until next week, we hope you stay safe, have fun, wear your mask, and just have fun doing what you do. If it's staying at home, visiting a theme park.
Bye.
Bye, everybody.